The Tom Woods Show, episode 1873.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I got just a short episode for you today, but it's some food for thought. I want you to think about it and maybe use it as a conversation starter because it really did make me stop and think. It's a point that I've made a little bit here and there over the years, but not as persuasively and thoroughly as in this case. But before I get to exactly what it is I'm talking about, let me tell you, I am pretty sure we are finally just days away from having the registration page up for the 2000th Tom Woods Show episode event that's going to be held at the Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando on October 16th of this year, 2021. It does not cost you a cent to enter, but it would help me if you registered to secure your spot. Just make sure we have room for everybody. And I will be having a special reception for members of the Supporting Listeners Program. And I'll have an even more super duper special reception before that special reception for folks at the platinum level and above in the hospitality suite with all the special guests, including the secret ones who are not going to be revealed until the night of the event. So I will have that up very, very soon. The problem is I've been using the same company to design my sites and stuff and the t-shirts for the Contra Cruise and all that for probably, I don't know, 7 years at least. And they're in Australia. So they send me their mock-up of the site and then I give them my comments. But when they send me their mock-up, I'm asleep and I send them my comments and they're asleep and it takes twice the time. But I assure you it's coming and the event is going to be absolutely a blast. So if you've been enjoying the Tom Woods Show, you're going to have so much fun acting like a human being with a whole bunch of other human beings in a great big room. And I don't know if Dr. Fauci will approve, but it doesn't matter because we're here in the free state of Florida. And you should set aside time to come on down and have a great time with me, with all the special guests I have, with all the attendees. It's going to be an absolute blast. So anyway, let's dive into the topic for today. The topic for today is our enemies are cowards. Now, you may say, Woods, that's a bit of a broad brush you're painting with, but let's unpack this a little bit to get at what I'm talking about. Very often, as we know, on social media or in the traditional media, we'll hear things like bigotry is bad, and we want to make clear that we are against bigotry. Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, I don't know that many people who openly espouse bigotry, per se. I think we can all agree that there's no reason to be hostile or anything other than courteous and helpful toward any particular person. So I think pretty much everybody already knows that. So it's kind of like saying, we're against cancer. Cancer is a terrible, terrible thing, and we are absolutely 100% against it. Okay, you know, fine. We have to endure this kind of thing all the time. And when it came to the 4 years of Trump, we would get people in the entertainment world saying, I'm risking my career by saying this, but really, Trump's a bad guy. You're not risking any. Are you an idiot? What on earth are you risking? You have every opinion molder on your side. What kind of courage is required for this? So I'm all for being good and decent to people because that's how I am in my personal life. But I don't feel the need to announce to the world that, as a matter of course, I'm good and decent toward everyone I meet. Why would I feel the need to do that unless there was some presumption that I wasn't? Or another one was a few years ago, this was a famous one, a group of sort of libertarians issued a statement disavowing fascism. I'm not kidding you. Some of you youngsters may not even remember this. Disavowing fascism and urging us all to sign this. I thought, I'm not signing that. Why would I sign that? My whole career is against fascism. Look at everything I've written or said. You look at every plank of fascism, I'm against it. Nothing could be more obvious. Why would I do this? Well, it's because there are fascists in the libertarian movement. No, that's just typical crazy left-wing hysteria. There are no fascists in the libertarian movement. Well, there are right-wingers who are entryists into the libertarian movement. Okay, whatever. Whatever this is, doesn't concern me in the slightest. Whoever these people are, they have no funding, they have no support from anybody, they're invisible, as opposed to the left, which, let's see, controls academia. Every corporate boardroom, the media, and all the traditional media, absolutely, completely, with the occasional exception of Fox News and a few outliers. The political class, most of them, even the Republicans, have swallowed much leftism. If I didn't mention the entertainment world, well, you know, that one's obvious. But the fact is, there are plenty of people who loved Ron Paul in 2008 or 2012, and then in 2016, they were for Bernie. Because what they liked about Dr. Paul was his, you know, middle finger to the establishment. And they felt like Bernie was doing the same thing. All right, well, Bernie has plenty of, there are people on his staff who were openly socialist and some of them actually sympathetic with Marxism. Not all of them, but it's not hard to find. I read about many of them being quoted openly in the press. But nobody was circulating a document that we all had to sign disavowing socialism and communism. I wouldn't have signed that either. What would be the point of that? It's just a way of, and plus no one would have done that because what they want to do is sign petitions against things that are extremely unfashionable already, just to signal to everybody, we're just like you. Yeah, we're libertarians, so we don't want tariffs. But other than that, we're kind of pretty close. I have no interest in signaling anything to anybody like that. So I wouldn't assign a thing about communism. I personally think these are stupid wastes of time. These are stunts that don't convert anybody. If anything, they make our movement held in even further contempt. They say, oh, well, what, you needed to condemn fascism? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that fascism is part of liberty? You know, don't even go down that road. You know, unless you have no strategic sense whatsoever, right? Don't go down that road. I think of all the people who have come after me, who I don't know who these people are, as far as I can see, in terms of the things they've done for libertarianism, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And they come after me with all kinds of crazy name-calling and accusations. Well, I'm out here trying to do actual work. And then I have to deal with these people every once in a while. And it's all to make sure the rest of the world knows. Now, look, I may be a libertarian, but I'm not like this Woods here. You know, I'm respectable. I listen to Dr. Fauci. Or I, you know, whatever the fashionable thing is, they make sure everybody knows they're on board with it. Okay, we hear you. We hear you. You're pretty much the Democrats with free trade. Like, that's okay. We hear you. Or slightly lower taxes. All right. We heard you. Thank you. But the way I look at it is this, and now we get to the point I wanted to make. I've often wondered, would these people who go out of their way to let us know that they're against racism and bigotry and cancer and, you know, obvious things that pretty much any decent person opposes, I wonder, would they have been abolitionists in the 19th century? Now, of course, they'll all assure you that they would be. And in fact, slavery is another thing they often assure us that they're against, as if anyone in the year 2021 is in favor of slavery. But you better believe they'll let you know that they're against slavery. Slavery's bad. Again, tremendous courage required to be against slavery in 2021. Would they have been against slavery in 1840 is the real question. Well, I'm not so sure, because it seems like these are the sorts of people who want to assure us that they hold all the approved opinions about everything. Well, abolitionism was not exactly an approved opinion in 1840, was it? The Liberty Party, which was an expressly abolitionist party, in 1844, they got 2.3% of the vote, and that was the best they ever did. Abolitionism was unpopular even in the North. I mean, yes, a lot of people found slavery distasteful, and they had various reasons for, in theory, opposing it, not always strictly for moral reasons. They had other reasons too. But they were not particularly sympathetic to abolitionists. And the abolitionist movement was extremely unpopular. So you're telling me that people who go out of their way in 2021 to make sure everybody knows that they hold all the same opinions held by the New York Times, the Washington Post, BuzzFeed, the Daily Beast, NPR, would have defied them all, or the equivalent of them all, in 1840? Really? That's the personality type that would have stood up to the world, the same personality type that gives in to everything the world demands of them today? I'm skeptical. I think we have reason to be skeptical. I don't think that's the case. Whereas, I think the people who today are the most outspoken against what the establishment thinks and what established opinion thinks, and the Dr. Faucis of the world, frankly, are vastly more likely to have been abolitionists because they obviously have the stones to be able to stand up to dominant opinion. Now, it's just getting juicy here, folks, because I'm about to share with you the punchline of all this, the juiciest part of the whole episode. And before I do that, let me use the same level of enthusiasm to urge you to pursue the opportunities that lie before you at Skillshare, our sponsor for this episode. Three of my daughters have used Skillshare. I've used it. A lot of my friends have used it as a way of learning new skills in record time. What kinds of skills? Well, everything from photography to film and video, music and music production, creative writing, animation, fine art. You can learn web development, marketing, entrepreneurship, and more. I have some really talented daughters, and I could easily see at least one of them going into some kind of creative career, or at least having a creative side hustle. So I recently took Martina Flores' class, Be Your Own Boss, Strategies for Launching Your Creative Career. And there, she teaches how to showcase your work, how to find clients, how to build an audience, how to price your work, the sorts of things I would want my daughters to know. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes at your fingertips that are typically short, efficient, and manageable. So consider stepping outside your comfort zone a bit. Do something today you couldn't have done yesterday with Skillshare. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/woods and get a free trial of premium membership. That's a free trial of premium membership at skillshare.com/woods. All right, let's get to the meat of the episode right here. And that involves a series of tweets from Robert P. George of Princeton University, known typically as Robbie George. He is somewhat right of center, but I would say 50 years ago, he would have been more or less a political moderate. So his politics are not really what are important here. He says this: I sometimes ask students what their position on slavery would have been had they been white and living in the South before abolition. Guess what? They all would have been abolitionists. They all would have bravely spoken out against slavery and worked tirelessly against it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure they would. He goes on to the next tweet. He says, of course, this is nonsense. Only the tiniest fraction of them, or of any of us, would have spoken up against slavery or lifted a finger to free the slaves. Most of them, and us, would have gone along. Many would have supported the slave system and happily benefited from it. Wow, that's some cold water he's throwing on these kids right here. And then he says, so I respond by saying that I will credit their claims if they can show evidence of the following: that in leading their lives today, they have stood up for the rights of unpopular victims of injustice whose very humanity is denied, and where they have done so knowing, one, that it would make them unpopular with their peers, two, that they would be loathed and ridiculed by powerful, influential individuals and institutions in our society, three, that they would be abandoned by many of their friends, four, that they would be called nasty names, and five, that they would risk being denied valuable professional opportunities as a result of their moral witness. In short, my challenge is to show where they have at risk to themselves and their futures stood up for a cause that is unpopular in elite sectors of our culture today. Well, that kills them, that right there, because we all know there ain't a one of them who's done anything like that. Not a one. To the contrary, the positions they hold make them very popular with their peers, make them celebrated by powerful, influential individuals and institutions in our society. It causes their friends to rally to them. They don't get called nasty names, and they certainly are not being denied valuable professional opportunities for anything they've said. So why should we believe these people, that in the 19th century they would have been great moral crusaders against slavery? There is literally no reason to think this. None whatsoever. None of their behavior today indicates that. The kind of people who go on Twitter and make these bland announcements of how they're also against what everybody else is against, these are the last people on earth who would lift a finger against real injustice if it meant damaging their own prospects and making themselves reviled. I think of people in the libertarian world who have attacked my friends, and I think to myself, do they even know what it's like to actually be reviled for opinions you hold? Do they know what it's like to be smeared, misrepresented, and attacked unjustly? They have no idea what that's like. They could not last 10 minutes in the shoes of an Eric July or a Dave Smith or a whole bunch of my other friends, a Ron Paul, all these sorts of people who are unjustly attacked by moral and intellectual pygmies. But the idea that these are the people who would have been leading the charge, of all possible people, these would have been the last people leading the charge against slavery. The best and bravest of them would have been telling us that maybe slavery should be gradually phased out over 75 years. I will credit maybe the best and bravest of them with holding possibly that position. But the idea that they, of all people, would have been abolitionists is laughable. So I'm going to link to Robert George's series of tweets at tomwoods.com/1873 if you would like to take a look at them and maybe use them as the beginning point of a discussion. Because I think he gives us tremendous food for thought here, doesn't he? I mean, some of the people in the libertarian movement who are so quick to condemn other people can't even bring themselves to favor something as benign as secession. And secession is obviously necessary at a time like this, when what's happening is we have people of such divergent ideological backgrounds that the state increasingly is used to clamp down on one or the other of them, depending on who's in power. And since the left is in effect always in power because they're entrenched in every institution, well, I'd say it's time to go our separate ways. You say this in some libertarian circles, and remember, it's not respectable, right? George Will wouldn't have supported that kind of view, right? None of the hosts of Good Morning America support a position like that. So, of course, we have to condemn it and ridicule it and talk about what crazy extremists these people are, all the while knowing that they themselves will never be criticized for opposing secession, given that almost everybody opposes it, every influential person opposes it. So they can sit there and make fun of people like me and ridicule and criticize us from the comfort of, well, I know the New York Times will like my position. I just refuse to live my life that way. I'm not going to withhold my opinions or take pathetic lapdog opinions so that I'll never get criticized, so that I won't. I get it. Not everybody is cut out for this. I get that. Not everybody is cut out for living a life where, yeah, you're alienated from major institutions and, yes, you do miss out on major opportunities despite your talents and all that, but nevertheless, you can carve out your own living, your own existence, your own following, your own fan base, by just sticking to something that amounts to something. Not everyone's cut out for that. I get it. So go do something else. Just don't say anything. Just have the decency to keep your mouth shut and let those of us who do have the stones get out there and say what needs to be said. All right, there we are. See, I told you that would be a short episode. We're all done. Now, next episode, 1874, I am so delighted to welcome Eric July back to the show. And for all my new folks listening, if you don't know Eric July yet, what a treat you are in for. I feel like the more you listen, the more you're going to be introduced to folks. You're going to say, I wish I'd known about this person before, but thank goodness I know about them now. Well, Eric July is one of those people. He was the host of the 1,000th episode event in Orlando 4 years ago and did a tremendous job. And he's coming back to be on the show in the next episode, and you're just going to love it. Now, if you like and appreciate what I do over here at the Tom Woods Show, I got a whole bunch of goodies lined up for you over at supportinglisteners.com for those of you who support the show. So go check that out, and I'll see you next time.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.